Hi, Master.
Hi.
I have a question. I use my brain a lot at work. Sometimes when I'm very busy, and seems like the brain cannot stop thinking.
Yes.
So when I meditating, like the thoughts related to my work just keep popping up in my head.
Right.
And sometimes, like, you know, a solution to some problems at work do like appear, but it's very hard for me to have a deep concentration. So I just want to have some advice how to deal with these, like, you know, runaway thoughts related to work.
Oh, I understand you, honey. It's really terrible. I understand. I have all the sympathy for you. This problem plagues many of us and most of humankind. That's why we die young, we're miserable, we're sick, we're exhausted, although we are the Almighty. Because the brain, you know, drag us down. And the society give complication to our little capacity of the computer brain, and just he's overloaded sometimes. Well, what kind of job that you're doing? Can you change at all?
I have been thinking of it. I don't know, like, whether I should change or not. I do kind of like economic analysis, like analyze a lot of data and write reports.
Ah. Okay. So can you, if you change your job, would you be able to do something else, and would it help you? Is it easy?
I can look for other jobs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you look for some more simple kind of job to earn the living and, you know, which you don't have to think a lot.
Okay.
Would you be able to, humbly bear that kind of less... you know, my less prestige existence?
Okay, I'll try, I'll start.
Yeah, I don't know if you like that. But you see, that's why the people, sometimes people, many people, they look down upon those who work as a labor and all that, which is also exhausting physically sometimes, or some simple job, you know, but then it free your mind. You don't have to activate the brain too much, and then, you know, it's more peaceful. Mm. So think about it, huh?
Okay, thanks, Master.
You are very welcome. I'm very sorry for you and for many of us, yes.
I have another question.
Sure.
It's kind of like how to deal with relationship at work. Recently, I worked on a project. The client was very demanding, and sometimes even unreasonable.
Yes.
And he makes us, like, work very long hours.
Yes.
And then sometimes he blames us for some mistakes, even though it's not our fault.
Yes.
Our co-workers and I, like, became very angry, and kind of like, you know, we talk bad about him, and very confrontational with him.
Yes.
But I feel like it doesn't help because it creates a very negative atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to talk, you know, try to understand why he makes, like, certain demands, and also try to let him understand us.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, like, in my heart, I still have a very uneasy feeling towards him. You know, kind of, and not hatred, but just, like, don't like him.
Mm.
I just don't know, like, with our spiritual program, like spiritual practice, can we treat people with love even though we were treated badly by them?
Mm. I understand. No, it's just your brain that react to that special circumstance. It's not that your heart don't love him. Your heart is different. Your brain is different. Okay? You are using your brain a lot, so when you deal with people, you also use the brain. The brain is eye for eye, tooth for tooth, yeah? The heart is different. You have love, it's just that you use the brain, okay? Try to use your heart next time. he also has his problem. You don't understand. His wife may be divorcing him or having an affair with somebody else, and he come and take it out on you. Yeah?
Okay.
And you are working like a mad there, and then here he comes, you know, don't know anything about your labor, about your concentration, about your effort, and just pouring on you for anything just because he is also stuffed. He's also, you know, depressed, and he also pressure on maybe higher boss, or maybe his wife, or maybe his daughter, his children. You know what? The world always pressuring on everybody. And in turn, we pressuring each other, and that's the problem. So maybe in the meditation, try to send love to him and tell him that I wish you all the best, and that you will be more enlightened soon so that you don't have to endure all this frustration and anger. And then you meditate and you try to understand him that he also has problem.
Yes.
You don't know my neighbors. Sometimes they give me problem also for nothing. Yes, all the time. Actually, when I live alone, I don't have any problem with any neighbors or anybody. But when I need to have other disciples around to help me with some, you know, work, because I cannot always do everything by myself. If I'm not working for you guys or for the whole world, then I don't need anyone. But because I'm working, I'm a working girl, so I need sometimes some physical help. And then because of their karma, with the neighbor's karma, we have conflict, and sometimes it's small things, you know, but I always try to understand the neighbor's point of view, and I understand that it's also not his fault. It is a fault of my attendants or my workers or my helpers, whatever, or whoever come to work in my house. Sometimes they attract this kind of karma to themselves, and because it is my house, my place, I am in the middle of it, you see? So I never blame the other party. I see into the root of the problem. And I even tell some of my assistants, I say, look, it's your fault. It's your combative karma that attracts his combative karma, his this kind of reaction from the neighbor. So do not get angry with him or feel angry inside, because like that you create more karma for yourself and attract in turn, you know, like a cycle, attract more of this combative kind of energy, and we will never finish with it.
Yes, Master.
Yes. It's not just physical. It's not just mental. It's not just the argument verbally. It is the karmic root from somewhere that we sometimes do not have the ability to see through. And also, of course, physically speaking or simply logically speaking, he himself, the boss or whoever, is also a human and he has his own problem. And sometimes he's in a bad mood. So whatever nearby, he just throw at it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So forgive him, and maybe just don't argue with him. Just keep quiet and pray and recite the holy name. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Master.
Yeah. Sometimes he just let out his air, and then later he feels foolish because you don't answer and you don't react, and then he feel bad, and then he come and apologize. Who knows? Right.
Okay.
Yes. Try to change your perspective. Yeah? Yeah. And that add up to the pressure of the work for sure, you know? Try to change your perspective of thinking instead of changing job or changing person. You try. But you never know. Sometimes we have better karma with somebody, sometimes we don't. So we just have to try until it fits, okay? Yeah. Right, next. Hi, sis.
Hello, Master.
Hi.
I come from Tennessee. We don't have a Sila Center in Tennessee, but oh. I come here to Indiana and Kentucky. Master, I feel my practice is well. I have only a problem. My husband is complaining about my meditation at night. He said that he cannot sleep while I meditate. I try to meditate when he is sleeping, but still
I know.
He is
You talk to him and he get used to it, okay? He's just so used to sleeping by your side, and when you're not there, he probably feel empty and cold or something. Give him a warm pack or something. Say, hold on to this while I go for an hour or so, and I come back soon, honey. I love you. Okay? Give him a pillow, the hugging pillow with some warm pack in it. And tell him, here, you hold on to this, give him a kiss, and then say, hold on to this, I'll be gone for a while, I come back soon. Tell him that you are under stress. Tell him that you need to relax with some relaxing technique, meditation, to regain your strength, to serve him, the family, and the job. Tell him you need it very badly. You tell him you need this relaxing time to recover yourself in order to continue loving him, serving him, and doing the job. Okay? Tell him. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Master.
But make sure he knows you love him before you go. Tell him every night that you love him so much and that you have to do this. You know, treat him like I treat my dog. Yeah, really. You have to hug him. I have to hug my dog every night and say goodnight and all that, and leave them, each one of them, 5 minutes to hang all over my bed and do anything, and then they settle down to sleep. I tell them I love them, and every time I go out, I say, take care of my house. I'll be back soon. I love you very much, but mommy has to go to work. And they're okay, you know. You have to tell him. Make sure he knows that you love him all the time. Tell him you love him all the time, all the time. Anytime you remember, tell him, kiss him longer and hug him longer, and tell him you love him more than anything in the world, but you need your relaxation time. You just have to reassure him of your love. That's all he needs. Really, he understands. You have to talk to him, all right? Every night you hug him, kiss him, tell him you need some relaxation time. You need it, because each one is different. You say he's a tough guy, he might not need it, but you need it, okay?
Okay, thank you, Master.
This is for all of you husband and wives alike. All right, next one.
Okay, Master.
Yeah.
I just had a baby last year,
uh-huh.
And I'm still learning about parenthood. I'm very new in this area. So I was thinking, as a practitioner, what's the best attitude we should have in the process of raising a kid? Because I do wish her to follow Master when she grows up. I'm kind of worried when she, you know, think about her future. What if she does not? And I'm not sure how to balance out, offer my best effort to raise her and not to get too attached to her.
Oh no, it's all right. As a mother, you attach to your kid, it's normal. You read stories to her. You read good story about practitioner from the Buddhist Bibles, from the Quran Bible, from the Christian Bible, from the story from my book. You read it to them. You read my teaching to him. Even though you think he doesn't understand, kids do understand.
I play Master's tape all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's also good. That's also good. But before they sleep, you know, you read a story for the kid to go to sleep with. Yeah? And you should you should read already in the conceiving stage. You should do that already, and then they get used to it. And feed them vegetarian, take them to, you know, some time of the group activity or in the center and all that. They get used to it from the childhood already. Okay?
Thank you, Master.
Yeah, you do your best, and if the kid choose the other way to walk, then let him. It's okay. He's a Buddha too.
Yes. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Don't worry so much. Don't worry. Do your best. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Next one.
Hi, Master.
Hi.
My question would be about how do you tell the difference between the something that is the rest of your karma and something that is maybe more like the habit of reacting a certain way? I can give an example. It's from my family, that I have a lot of responsibility always through my life.
Yes.
And since I became initiated, I feel like much lighter.
Yes.
But then lately, because of other circumstances, it seems like more and more they want my help. And so I wonder, especially because the help is more in the physical way, arrangements of paperwork and helping physically, am I just reacting more from how I'm used to reacting, like to be the responsible daughter and helping and all this? Or is it truly my responsibility to finish with them, you know, to complete my karma with them?
What do they really need you, or do they have someone else to help? Is your help really, really necessary?
In some cases, yes, but in some cases, no.
Okay, in the yes case, you do it. In the no case, no.
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome, Anna.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it. Thank you, Master.
Oh, you're
Thank
welcome.
You very much.
Yes. You look very good. You've been practicing very well. I can tell.
Thank you, Master.
Hello, Master.
Hello.
You look so beautiful. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
I know in the third world, there is no karma. How about the merit? It's also no merit can create in the third world.
The people who have a good merit, they go to the third world. But there's nothing like give and take over there anymore. And after they exhaust the merit, they have to go back here. Everything in the three worlds, first, second, or third world, is perishable. Yeah? So even if you go stay there, you cannot stay forever. Yes. So when we're in the human world, we better meditate well so that we have connection with the physical master and the inner master. So even if we go to the first, second, or third world, we still can continue studying with the master and then jump over there to the higher world. But if you don't have this connection, even you have a merit or not merit to stay in the third world, you cannot stay long. Okay?
Thank you, Master.
Welcome. Yes?
When we reach to the home of the master, will we develop or have the same inner quality as you, like a boundless love and wisdom, Master?
Sure, of course you'll be the same. The same but different, you know, same but different. Because you don't lose your individuality as a being, but you have the same quality, you know, like the good quality. Yes. Just like if you graduate from the college, yeah? Then you have the same qualification. But each student is different, of course, yeah? And you will have different choice to do different things the way you want. But you have the same capability. Get it?
Thank you, Master.
Welcome.
My question, another question. I know that the soul, our soul never dies. But is there any circumstances, like special circumstances, that a new soul will create? Or there is a fixed number of the soul being created from the beginning, from the origin?
Most of the souls are old, already created. But occasionally there's some new soul coming. New but old but new.
Thank you, Master.
You're welcome.
And my last question is my personal questions. And Master, there is a certain times I had experienced like a tremendous inner pressure. I believe it might come from the love, the care, the loving care, the expectation from other practitioners. They so love me and they feel like I should do a certain way. And sometimes I feel that pressure so much that I couldn't bear.
Oh.
Unbearable that my soul can break into pieces.
God.
But I know that they love me, they care for me, and sometimes I was so upset I want to fight back. But I feel like maybe a test from Master to send them to help me to grow. So I, at that moment, I thought of you.
Okay.
And I meditate on the light. It won't help. And I have to meditate on the sound because the pressure is still there. And then finally, I have to meditate on the sound 10-15 minutes. And then the pressure soared away. But then I realized that the pressure is transferred to you, Master. This does not go away because of the meditation.
It's all right, it's all right.
I just feel like, is there, exists a express course and like a short course within the Kuan Yin method so I can learn, so I can drop all of those pressure in emergency cases?
Oh. What kind of things are you talking about? Can you be precise? And what kind of disciple who give you so much pressure like that in the name of love? Hmm? They should not do that. They should leave you alone. Whoever that is should leave you alone. You live your life. They live their life. Okay?
Thank you, Master. Yeah.
You tell that person, whoever give you pressure, you talk to him or her. And tell him that maybe the way you behave is not the way he wants, but each one behaves differently, and you have the right to do so. And that's what makes each one of us unique. And nobody has the right to interfere with the way you live your life, as long as you do not break the precepts, as long as you do group meditation, you abide by the teaching of the Master, no one has anything to do with your life and mess up with your feeling. So leave that person alone. You just stay away from whoever that is, you know, emotionally.
Yes, Master.
Yes. My goodness. Whoever that is, I advise him or her to leave you alone. My goodness.
Yeah, Master, I thought first I was upset about it, but I know they care for me like a sister, so they really want expect me a certain way.
No. They don't have to care for you. I care for you, that's enough. Tell him get away.
Yes, Master.
Messing up with people's life is not practitioner's business.
Thank you, Master. I love you.
You're welcome. They have enough work to work on their own life. And their own way of behaving. Everybody work on their own way and leave everybody else alone. Okay? All right, honey. Don't worry about it. Just tell him that leave you alone, okay? I say so.
Thank you, Master.
Welcome. My God, making you nervous like that. It's not a good help. What kind of love is that? It's a possessiveness. It's attachment. It's not love. Okay? Right. Whoever that is, understood what I'm saying. I hope so. If not, you convey it to them. Okay. And next one.
Thank you, Master.
Welcome.
You look beautiful, Master.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. You have any more questions?
I think no more questions. I think we want to ask you to help us celebrate with a toast.
Wow, okay. I have some drink here.
Good.
Yeah. You have your vegetarian champagne yet?
We have another small special event here before we cut the cake.
I saw it. Master, I love you. We love you. Okay, beautiful cake you make. Ah, wish I were there. Okay. I let you go enjoy your cake, huh? Or you want
to
toast first?
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers here.
Thank you, Master, for this very special day and event. Thank you so much.
All right, cheers.
1, 2, 3.
Cheers. Yay. Happy retreat.
Thank you. Thank you, Master.
Thank you to you. And enjoy the cakes and the drink and everything.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
For more details, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org. suprememastertv.com/BMD.